Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in today to our boardroom chat. We look forward to it every week to come into your home or wherever you may be viewing this. And I hope you're getting something from the Lord. We've been doing it for quite a few years, and God's been so good and gracious. And we thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to see and to hear what the Lord God says through me and Kathy.
That's right. And this is number 258, so we've been doing quite a bit of these.
258 weeks.
Yes.
That's what that is, right?
Good, yeah.
My God, I say 52 weeks in a year? That's over 4 years.
Since 2020. March of 2020,
I think. My Lord, that's a blessing. That's 5 years, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
Right there, God is so good and gracious. So thank you.
We get a lot of comments.
Where'd you get that green jacket at, girl?
Online shopping.
Online shopping. So, man, ain't
got
a chance.
You keep me so busy, I don't always have time to hit the stores, but there's another way.
Oh, man, you green in today, huh?
I like this green color.
Got on the green.
I'm on a green trend.
Yeah, I can see that. My Lord.
Green's a good color.
You didn't wear your green ring?
No, I'm just comfortable today.
You're just comfortable today. So rings make
you
uncomfortable?
I've got my green shoes on, though, but you can't see those.
Does rings make you uncomfortable?
Not all the time, but it's a long day.
I understand. It's a long day. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about something that I think you're going to enjoy, something that I struggled with for many, many years and sometimes still do. So if you got your Bibles, I'd like you to go with me to the book of 1 John. That's right before 2 John, chapter 3. And I want to talk today about the language of love.
Oh, I like that.
What that means, the language of love. And I'm going to tell you my definition of it and see if it coincides with a lot of men out there when I say it. I want to start reading the book of 1 John, chapter 3. And I want to start reading verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now I want to get to verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And we'll keep reading. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth us not, then have we confidence toward him. Now we get to verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. No, it didn't say, well, according to his will. No.
Mm-hmm.
It said, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Now, you can't ask something without walking in love, because we keep his commandments. We don't endure them, we keep them.
Mm-hmm.
And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, how do you please God? Faith. So every day your faith must be activated to please God spiritually, physically, and financially. I'm gonna go back to verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in the truth. I struggled all my life with the word affection, still do sometimes, because I was not allowed to cry as a young boy, you know, because I happened to be born a boy. So, you know, we were supposed to be men. 5, 6 years old, not even if you hurt yourself. Didn't make any difference. You see what I mean? You got to suck it up, you know, like they say, and just do what you have to do. So I learned to suppress feelings, you know, really learned it strong to a damaging part. So my language of love to Kathy was, and let me just say this first, I never told Kathy I loved her till 5 years after I married her. Now, that's kind of insane.
Well, you didn't say those words. I would initiate it, and I'd say, I love you, and he'd say, me too.
Yeah, I was a me too person.
And or I'd ask him, do you love me? He'd say, yes. But to initiate it.
Yeah, I was not an initiator.
That was hard for him.
And it was hard for her.
But I knew you loved me.
I know why. Let me tell you why. And so, because I mean, I called that weakness to say that, because I was told by several men in our family, uncles, not aunts, but uncles and grandfather and all that kind of stuff, that's weakness, boy. Just show the woman you love and go on about your business. That kind of silliness, you know? And so my language is love is I would buy you something. I use a glass and I would say, hey, here. And you'd say, oh, that's not my anniversary. That's not our anniversary. That's not my birthday. You know? I said, yeah, but I thought you might like that. I think you would have preferred me just saying the words, I love you. And I just didn't say it.
I remember the first Christmas where we were dating, you overwhelmed me with 4 different gifts. You brought in this massive box
I was always wrapped. A giver, huh?
Very generous. Mm. And I love that love language, you know, and I like both. I tell him often I want him to be bilingual in the love language. Don't stop that one, but the other one is better.
Which other one's better?
It showed me that.
Which other one's better?
The love language, saying affirmation, words of affirmation are great.
Yeah, but you sure didn't turn down them gifts, did you?
Of course not. I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember you brought in this massive box, and I opened it. I could crawl into the box. I pulled out this massive stuffed lion, a male lion with the big furry head.
Stuffed animal.
I was so loved. I was still a young girl. I think I was probably 15 still at the time.
15 years old.
Maybe 16.
I may have had a birthday.
Then you got me a bottle of Chanel No. 5 perfume.
Still like that smell.
And I still love it. I have it on today. Do you smell it?
Oh, no. Well, we got to go, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all have a wonderful day. May
God
bless you.
It's still my favorite. And then also you got me a pair of, you got me an electric hair setter.
Yeah,
I had really long hair, and you must have known that's something that I wanted.
No, I heard you say that, you know.
And so, I mean, it was everyone probably knew back then, and this was the 70s. No, it's late 60s. 1968, or whatever 60, it would have been.
Yeah, 68, something like that.
And so it got me this electric hair. So it's a practical gift. And then you got me some beautiful earrings. I had pierced ears, still have pierced ears. And they were a little small rosette, a rose earring, but they were rose gold, which is popular again today. It was popular at that time. So you're shocked that I remembered all four?
I'm surprised, yeah.
But
well,
it was
good. I'm glad you did.
But it was, from the beginning, you always showed me your love in that way and other ways, of course, but which we don't want to talk about. But just saying that, I would love hearing the word, I love you. But I never got that till after you got born again, because you struggled with that.
Yeah. See, I wasn't, that's scriptural. Watch. Little children, let us not love in word.
What verse are you reading?
I'm in verse 18, 1 John chapter 3. Not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, so that was the best way I knew how to say that.
The Amplified says, little children, let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth. In parentheses, it says in practice and in sincerity.
Well, I practice giving you stuff
you
all the time.
And you're good
still
at
do.
It.
I still do that.
You got an Olympic medal.
I got an Olympic medal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's so true, the language of love.
But you still love giving, not just say to me, but you love giving to others.
Oh, I enjoy it.
You love people.
My favorite thing
to
do. I don't let people take advantage of me. A lot of people know I'm a giver. And some people, I don't mean this to sound wrong, but it's just the truth. Some people try to get close to me because they want me to give them something.
And you know, you don't always realize it, but I do.
I think, yeah, you catch it more than I do.
I know.
And some of my spiritual sons told me, I didn't even realize that they'd say, boy, why don't you tell your spiritual father to give me some money or whatever, his church and all kinds of stuff.
Other people tell them?
Yeah, boy, they didn't like that at all, you know, my spiritual sons and things of that nature, you know, and I don't mind being a blessing. But I just enjoy it so much because I have the nature of God. For God so loved the world.
That he gave.
So that's a deed, boy.
Yeah.
Jesus died on the cross. Why? Because of love. Mm. And out of his love for us, our sins were washed away. Now, why is that? People say, why are you so blessed? Well, by using the language of love in deed and in truth, then verse 22 comes into effect. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. His commandments. You know, I don't endure his commandments. I enjoy the word of God. Now, there's some things I wish God wouldn't have said. I'm not going to lie about it. I'm still human, you know. Bless those that curse you. I like to rip that one out. Bless the pray for those that despitefully use you. I don't like that neither. But you know, by doing that, you develop love in your life.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's easy to love people that are lovable. But to love people that are not lovable, that's a tough thing.
It's a challenge.
I mean, it's more than a challenge, man. I mean, it's a wall that you have to break through. But
Jesus,
you do it indeed.
Yeah, God did that when he sent his son,
yes.
Jesus. He loved mankind enough to do that.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I have one daughter, Jody, and a granddaughter, Meredith. And I'll say this publicly. I could not put my daughter on a cross for you. I'm not there. I'm not going to lie. Man, my God, man. You know, and how the Father God had to, for lack of a better way to say it, take that.
Yeah.
Whew, I mean, he got angry because the rocks start cracking and breaking. I mean, if things got rough there for a minute. But he did that so that we might become the righteousness of God, that he could love us the way he loved Jesus. That's
what the Father
was
saying. I know God knew The father knew that he would be raised from the dead, but that still was a torture. There was a lot to go through. And it just kind of reminds me of a phrase that a lot of people use today called tough love. You know, sometimes you do things that are hard because you see the end result. You know it's good for them. God knew that it was good for the whole world for his son to go through this.
Yeah.
But he knew that would all turn around in just 3 days. Well, I heard it said that Jesus endured Friday because he kept his eye on Sunday.
We knew that there was an answer.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like he knew Jesus would be raised from the dead. But like you say, if your child cuts itself, you know it's going to heal, but you surely don't want them to cut themselves.
Of course not.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, you know, there's a process of healing going on, and it will heal the misunderstanding. But my Lord, if you got any kind of a parent, boy, if they hurt themselves, it hurts you.
Yeah, you don't say just shut up and take it. You hug them.
No, they told me to shut up and take it when I was a kid.
See, that was dysfunctional.
Yeah.
You had a dysfunctional family, I must tell you, in so many ways. But God, you turned out okay.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm glad I stuck with you.
No, I'm glad you did. Praise God. I mean, and it was just dysfunctional on the affectionate side. My dad worked, my mom, you know, as far as that was concerned, but it was hard to say that. But, you know, I don't know if it was just me, because my brother, he'd go hug mama and all the time. Wayne, he's in heaven.
I think your issue was the influence of your grandfather on your life. Now, you took a lot of instruction from him. He cared for you. I really loved him.
I never said it.
Right.
But, he was strong, and he was... I just couldn't get over how strong he
was.
But
I don't think at the time you realized how he was brought up.
Mm-mm.
So he was
worse.
Acting out basically the way he was raised. And that's what happens a lot of people. They get in this attitude of acting the way they were treated. You know?
And you got to be careful how you raise...
Tell them what happened to your grandpa.
Okay.
That's good.
You got to be careful how you raise your children, because you will affect them their whole life. My grandfather... No, this is on my mother's side.
This is amazing.
we all lived on the West Bank in New Orleans, but he was on the East Bank, him and his mama. And you know, I don't know if you've ever been to New Orleans, but the St. Louis Cathedral is. It's a beautiful, beautiful church. Well, across the street, you go across the street there, you'll see a bunch of horses and buggies that they could take people around and all that kind of stuff. You walk up the levee right there. See what I'm saying? Now it's real pretty. In those days, there were fishing boats on the other side of that levee, and people brought in fish.
Of the Mississippi River.
And they would bring their stuff to the French area there and sell their
French
wares.
French market.
Yeah. So. Well, but his mother, he was 5 years old now. You got to understand. Imagine a five-year-old if you got a five-year-old child. So he was standing there, and his mother looked at him, and he looked at her, and she turned around, walked away.
And she just abandoned him there on the wharf at that young age.
He said, Mom, and she never said a word. And he realized she was gone. Well.
And, you know, we really don't know why she did that.
No,
we don't know her story.
I did not.
And there's a lot of people.
Who knows?
I don't want to interrupt your story, but that
you
I've
just
often
did.
Wondered about it. But it's okay. Don't interrupt me while I'm interrupting you. But I often wondered what was she dealing with? Was she no money? Was she a prostitute? Whatever.
I don't know. You never knew. I never knew. Yeah. But watch this. My grandfather had enough sense. He walked up the levee, go over the levee. And now this is before the Mississippi River, where we have the Mississippi River levee. This was only maybe 4 foot, 5 foot. They built that thing up since then. 1927 is when they built that great levee. Okay. And he walked down to those fishing boats. Now he's 5 years old. He hadn't been to school yet. He only went to school one day in his life. He couldn't read and write. He became a fisherman. And he asked the guy that had that boat, he said, can he have a job? 5 years old. And the man, I don't know who the man was. I never did tell me that. At least if he did, I don't remember. And he said, boy, where's your mama? He said, she's gone. She's never coming back. And I remember the man looked at him. He said, are you a hard worker? He said, I work hard. Mm-hmm. He's 5 years old. Walked and went on that, he gave him a job. And he slept on that boat till he was 16 years old. Worked on pulling those trawl nets. Now, he had the biggest fingers I ever saw. He wore a size 15 on this finger, a 15. I mean, because, you know, pulling those trawl nets and those boards, that's very heavy. And I remember how he would grab crabs, those blue pincer crabs, and they'll cut you. And they would cut him, and he'd see blood. And I'd say, Grandpa, does that hurt? He said, oh, it smarts a little, boy. It didn't make no difference. He was just, you know, just doing that. But it made him very hard. He would hurt you in a second. In fact, he'd kill you. And it just became, he trusted no one, nowhere, no how. You know, because he had to, well, just take care of himself. And then I think he went, got his own boat or something and began to do his own fishing and things of that nature at past 16 years old. And so he was very, very hard. You mess with him, he'd hurt you in a second, you know, just the way it was. He had no feelings. If he did, he certainly didn't show. How he showed feelings to me, he would pat me like that, you know, or something like that. Come with me, Jesse. Or he'd give me a little piece of something that he was eating. He'd leave it for me to eat or something like that, you know. And
he was looking out for you.
He was. But he loved his family, but you didn't smart off at him. He had to be real careful how you shook his hand because he was so strong in his hand, he would hurt you. But he didn't mean to. He wasn't trying to do that. Back on his deathbed, he broke all four knuckles of my Uncle Norman's hand. As he was dying, he went, you could hear that I was there in the room, pow, pow, pow. And my Uncle Norman went, he didn't say a word. I mean, my Uncle Norman was pretty tough too, way back when. I mean, he was rough. But and then all of a sudden, the grip released and he was gone. My mama got him saved 7 days before he died. So, you know, his language of love was he'd do something for you. I don't ever remember him saying, I love you to my grandma. None of that. And she adored him, you know. I mean, it was just amazing.
Right.
But so everything he did indeed. And you know, that's biblical. That's true. But like you say, most women like their husband to be a little bilingual. Yeah, keep the presents coming. You know, that's kind of nice. But also say, I love you, you know. So he had a tough life. It was not easy.
Yeah.
And but you know, mama got him saved. And you know what he told me the last words he said? If you ever want to see me again, this is maybe, I don't know, 5, 6 hours before he died. If you ever want to see me again, forget everything I ever told you and listen to your mama because she's right and I was
wrong. Wow.
That's right. I was 11 years old when he passed.
Listen to that.
No, I did not. You know, I was already hardened inside, see, learning to suppress and things of that nature. I wanted his strength, but I wasn't big. I mean, but I didn't do the work that he did, you know, and things. So, but thank God. I don't know if anybody ever witnessed to my grandfather. That was never said.
I'm sure they
did. I know, and we were Catholic.
Well, your mother did, because he got born again.
But mama got him saved. Right. But I'm talking about doing that life when I was, I don't remember a preacher coming to the house or a priest coming. None of that, you know. But my grandma, oh yeah, you know, the women went to church, but the men didn't. A lot of men did not go to church. I mean, they just didn't go to church.
Yeah.
I don't know why, or just the way it was. But anyway, when God said, do this, so when I started, I do that indeed, and work, and I became a giver, then God said, Jesse, I'm going to bless you. So everything I do today, I do it by faith. And everything, spiritually, physically, and financially. It takes great faith, and I'm not bragging on myself, to support this ministry, what we have to believe for financially every month. I wish it was $1 million a month, but it's millions. I mean, and we have to believe that you as a partner sow into this ministry on a monthly basis, daily basis, whatever how you give. And that 100%, I promise myself. See, honor is a gift a man gives to himself. So I gave myself the gift of honor. I said, I will not touch anything that you give, that what you give will go into world evangelism. We've been debt-free since 1982. See what I'm saying? Why? Because everything you sent, we give it to the kingdom of God. Now, some people get me. In fact, this happened the other day. I said, Brother Jesse, they gave me a check. They gave me some money. And I said, oh, no. They said, please, you will offend us if you give this to your ministry. We give to your ministry. We're a partner. But we want to give something to you. And, you know, sometimes I don't know how to take that. You know what I mean? I go, well, thank you. You know, naturally, I'm going to say thank you. But I think, man, I could take that and put that over here. That's what I'm thinking about this ministry, this wonderful gift that God called us to preach this glorious gospel. But you know what? They were doing a love deed there. You see what I'm saying? It was just amazing. There was a couple, and I'll just say, I just came back from Alaska. Boy, I love Alaska. It is just beautiful. And I went preaching. Kings, Alaska. Oh, we had such a wonderful time. And when I drove up, I met the pastor. I was met him before in my life, but my ministry had really affected him when he got born again. And this, I'm a lot older than he is. He said, walk on the side of the church. And I walked, and there was this magnificent view of just snow-covered mountain. My God, all over there. And they had the cross of Kings, Alaska right there. I just was amazed. And I thought, the works of God's hands, you know, how he did those things.
Beautiful.
And it was just so amazing, you know, and had a wonderful time. But this couple comes up to me. Well, I'll just tell you how it happened. I already finished preaching and went back to the speaker room thing there. And they had some little finger foods. And the pastor said, Brother Jesse, if somebody wants to bless you, is that okay if they come in and just bless? They want to give something to you, put it in your hand. And I said, well, yeah, sure. I didn't know who to work. And this couple came in, and it was one of the most amazing, sweetest people. And they said, we know that the anointing of increase is on you. And I looked at them, and I said, first time I remember ever seeing them. I may have met them before. I don't remember that. But and we believe in God for a home. We want a nice home like you have a nice home. And we want to sow this into you. Now, and that's when he said, this goes to you personally. They gave me it in a card, in an envelope. This is, I didn't know what it was. I didn't open it up, you know, anything of that nature. And but this is for you. And it really touched my heart. And I said, you know, and the Lord said, Do not hinder their gift. I know you want to give it to me. I know you want to bless me, but I moved upon them to bless you. Not that they paid for my anointing. You don't pay for people's anointing, but it's called good soil. It's what you sow is what you reap. And I believe in God, if you're watching this today, you'll have the beautiful home that you have. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean by deed. And I will never forget that. I will not.
It was an act of honor.
It was an act of honor. And it was just such a blessing of the Lord to that God, people think of you, you know. And, you know, with people, the thing that I like a lot is, and I got some friends of mine, they said, if somebody give you a card, make sure there's some money in that card. And, well, that's nice to have money in the card to misunderstand me. But I like to read the cards. You know, I still got some of the cards you gave me. I keep them in my desk. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Oh, you did.
I'm waiting for you to write me a card.
Oh, Lord. I'm not good at writing, you know.
It's really, even when he sends me roses, he doesn't really do a card. He puts a white rose in the middle of a bunch of red ones.
I think it's great.
Yellow. It is good, but I'm still believing.
Let me tell you what I do. And I never sign a card when I buy roses or flowers.
I have seen a Jesse. I have those too, by the way.
You got a what?
Your name, Jesse. It doesn't say, I love you.
Well,
or,
I came up with an idea.
You just...
One day I looked at myself in the mirror and I went, watch my eyes. And my eyes looked up and I saw my hair. So my hair, you know, it gets really white, you know. So what I do, if I buy a bunch of roses, whatever it is, maybe it's all red or all yellow or pink. You know, they got so many beautiful colors of roses. Right in the middle, there's one white rose. Right in the middle. I said, put that white rose in the middle. That's my signature. See, that's my deed. And Kathy, it's amazing. If I get her, she starts looking for that white rose. Oh, that came from Jesse. And it's pretty romantic.
I like the white rose. It is, but it's a cop out, I think.
You think it's a cop out?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I ain't got a chance at
this
moment.
No, it's okay, and I like it, but I'm still waiting for the note.
I signed the certificate of the marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can do it.
I can do it. But I still think it's nice to have that white.
Chris is in there. It's special.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? Come on, Chrissy, help me out here. Praise God. Okay.
You know, it don't matter what Chrissy thinks. It matters what I think.
You see, Chrissy ain't got a chance.
Really? It comes down to it.
I got a real bad handwriting. I prefer the rose.
You know, I like your handwriting.
Oh, it's terrible. You know it is. And it's just really terrible. You got to speak in tongues.
Oh, now that's the other reason. It's the handwriting.
Oh, it's terrible, man. You got to speak in tongues and get the gift of interpretation to read my handwriting. I don't know how my daughter does it. You know, it helps me. I write my partner a letter and I tell her, I don't use grammar. I told her, I don't want to use grammar punctuation. As the Lord gives it to me, I just want to write. I go past the margins. I might go up the side.
No paragraphs.
Nothing. I just keep
going. You do a period. You make
sentence. Yeah, I do a period. I said, just do this. I said, now, Jody, take that, put that in paragraph form for me. And she said, okay. And how she can read it, I don't know. In fact, I don't write anymore. I print. So they could read, because writing is, I'm telling you, it's bad.
You should just get that computer out. Learn to, you used to type a lot all the time when it was an IBM Selectric.
I did 90 words a minute. With no errors.
You can. That's all I'm saying.
I can.
Because you play the piano, your fingers are really quick and fast.
Well, they're kind of short and small, but I mean.
But you can do it.
That kind of stuff.
I'm believing for you.
Keep believing, Mom. Keep believing. So he says, if you please him, he will bless you. Well, that's verse 22 again. Read that in Amplified.
Which verse?
Verse 22 of 1 John chapter 3. Let me read it in the King James version. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Read that.
Verse 22 says, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we watchfully obey his orders, observe his suggestions and injunctions, follow his plan for us, and habitually practice what is pleasing to him. That's the Amplified Classic.
Okay, let me read the verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we, I love that. This is a commandment that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Read that in the
Amplified. Amplified says, and this is his order, his command, his injunction, that we should believe in, put our faith and trust in, and adhere to and rely on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and that we should love one another just as he has commanded us.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, this is so simple that you need a good theologian to help you misunderstand it. I don't know why we want to criticize each other. You know, we can agree to disagree on doctrinal points of view. I can understand it without being disagreeable. Sure. And it's nothing wrong with you stating your opinion when I don't believe that. That's not a shot to someone. That's just the truth. You're saying that. Yeah, that's what you believe. But when you understand this language of love, when you, it's good to say I love you. And I recommend everybody says it and does it. And I'm getting better at it myself. I ain't
lying.
You
sure are.
I'm starting to mellow
out.
It took me to 75 years old, but I tell you what.
There's hope.
I believe my grandfather said, boy, doing good.
But you know, there's those people that find it really easy to say I love you, but it's empty. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And it's abrasive, actually. Sometimes, remember there was a person that we knew that was constantly telling us I love you. And we felt bad that we would just say, why does he keep saying, we don't want to even hear it. We were feeling bad that we thought that way.
And we didn't want to hear it. Isn't that sad?
We said, why do we feel this way? Because it wasn't genuine. And our spirits knew it because he was living a double life, yeah. And it was a lie.
Yeah.
So I guess that's an angle you didn't. Yeah, it is
yeah,
forgivable. Yeah, and we have forgiven. Yeah. Well, he's forgiven. I'm
Did
working
you see that
on
face?
It.
Yeah. See, I'm a lot easier, man. I got some friends of mine that said,
in some things.
Kathy said, Jesse, I always had your back. I said, yeah, but you had a knife in your hand. You got to watch it. You know.
Now, that's not nice.
It's not nice. But because I told you the truth, I made you my enemy.
I'm not your enemy.
You know, you're not my enemy. But I mean, Kathy would tell you how the cow eat the cabbage real quick. And I don't know if a cow eats cabbage, but it works.
I'd say the truth in love. That's another scripture.
Oh, you
want me to find
love.
It?
No.
Speak the truth in love. I think it's in Ephesians.
You know, so when you understand what God is saying here,
I'm a
use that language of love and be a blessing to someone. Let nobody abuse you or use you. Now, let me ask you this question. You said something.
Oh, I love this verse.
Okay, but you said this before you read it. You said that you spot when people try to take advantage of me before I do.
Yeah, I do. I've seen it many times. And
okay, what is the key factors how you spot it?
Well, I can tell that they're suggesting and they're hinting. They're looking to you as their source and because you've been generous. But I just didn't want you to be taken advantage of. And I thought it had went overboard. I like being generous, and I'm generous as well. But you can see when people are tapping you, and it's the wrong spirit. I don't want to reward that.
Right.
And
Well, I appreciate you taking care of me there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Read that scripture now.
Well, it's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Yeah, one translation says imitators.
I love imitators.
And it says followers is a good one, too.
Yes, indeed.
We're all called to be followers of Christ.
Right.
As dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor.
Now, that's King James, right?
That is the King James
version. Do the Amplified or the Passion Translation.
The Amplified says, therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example, as well-beloved children imitate their father, and walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. That's the Amplified classic.
Do the Passion.
Passion translation.
I like that Passion.
Be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters.
Ooh, I like that.
And continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ, for he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God like an aroma of adoration. Oh, I love that. A sweet healing fragrance.
So he used the word extravagant.
Extravagant love.
Okay. Why can't I be extravagant when I bless Kathy?
And I could be extravagant when I bless you.
That's correct. You see, why does people have to be jealous of that?
And we're extravagant when we give to the Lord because we love him.
Yeah, why can't we be extravagant in our giving?
The enemy doesn't like it. He's
always
grumbling.
Oh, I know he does. I don't care what the devil
right.
likes at all. But what I can't get over is how Christian people sometimes Yeah, you buy something really nice, maybe expensive. They say, well, you could have used that to give to the poor. When's the last time you gave to the poor?
Probably never.
So you got poverty in your mind so much that you can't get out. You don't understand prosperity when you see it. You criticize it. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Yeah. I mean, I like to be blessed so I can be a blessing. Yet, I don't let people take advantage of me. Kathy surely will stop it. And even God does, too. But when you understand that the language of love is done in not just in word, and it should be word, but in deed and in truth. In other words, let me close with this. If you give somebody something, do it in the truth. That's a statement I've never forgotten years ago. He said, if Jesus is the way, you can't get lost.
I love that.
If he's the truth, you cannot be deceived.
That's right.
And if he's the life, the devil can't kill you. So today, be a blessing
someone.
I want to
read our testimonies before we close, because we didn't do it on last week.
We're going to do it. But today, be a blessing to someone.
Yes.
Spiritually, physically, financially. Use that language of love.
That's why they call it a love gift many times.
This is a language of love. They took time to send us testimonies.
Right. That's so
true.
Okay,
you go ahead and read them if you like.
Okay, Jason says, watching from Nigeria. And then Angela says, joining from Finland, we are blessed to receive wisdom. Thank you, Jesus.
I've never been to Finland. I'd like to go up there. It'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Malia says, joining from Maui, Hawaii. Someone from YouTube, I don't have the name, says, we love you both so much, and we would adore it if you came to New Zealand.
Yeah, I've been to New Zealand before, years and years ago.
We're going to Australia pretty soon. I don't know if we have time to swing by.
But
you know, we're going to be close to you. Why don't you come on over to Australia?
That's right. Or,
that's like five different cities we're going to.
And we're
going to
do a worldwide tour. We could put New Zealand on that.
Well, that's so true.
That's true, yeah.
Well, we're praying about that.
Okay.
Patricia says, hi, Kathy and Jesse, watching from Queensland, Australia. Thank you for your messages. I love watching them all. Then someone named Peace says, greetings from Zimbabwe. So many nations around the world watch this program as well as so many others. And this one named Jorge, it says George, but I think it's Jorge because it's translated from Spanish. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Did she say it right, George? No, she didn't say it right.
Well, it's close enough.
You see, let's start there for a minute. It's spelled J-O-R-G-E.
Is
that correct? Now, in the English, to me, George, but I think the Spanish language does not use these J is silent.
Well, normally the name George starts with a G in English.
Well,
in the English speaking world.
Not necessarily.
Yes.
How's that one spelled?
Well, that's why.
How's that one spelled?
That's because it's Jorge. Jorge. Maybe it's just O. It's the O. Is it just start with the O, George?
Like
say it. Jorge.
It's like you're trying
to. Did I get it?
Did you get it?
No.
Yeah.
Is it better?
No, he's trying to clear his throat.
Anyway.
Jorge.
We love that name, by the way.
You're just looking for a good spit.
No, I'm not. This one, let me just read the English version because I am not Hispanic. I'm not Latino. It says, blessings, Pastor Jesse from Venezuela. I'm very happy and blessed with your teachings. And as of today, I'm becoming a collaborating partner in your ministry. That's something we've been praying for.
I like the word collaborating.
We've been praying for Spanish partners. Thank you so much. And then it says, I ask for your prayers for the multiplication of my real estate business.
Amen.
And for me to be a funder of God's kingdom and his ministry. Isn't that a blessing?
Now, that is a wonderful, act of love. Isn't that a blessing?
Thank you. We're praying for you daily. And we are going to expect that.
Can I stop you right there for a second?
Yeah, let's pray.
He talked about being a collaborating partner. Maybe you need to be a collaborating partner. I'd like all of you that watch to be a partner in our ministry. 100% of what you give goes into world evangelism. I'm so excited to say that. I say it all the time. We've been debt-free since 1982. If you'd like to be a partner, all you got to do is go to our website, jdm.org, hit a donate button, and give what you want. You can use PayPal if you'd like to use that. Or you can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one if you want. Or you can select the giving on our JDM apps, which is a free app. Or you can just mail in your donation. I say this, and I mean this sincerely. Because of the presence that we have on especially social media thing, you give me $1,000. Now, that's a lot of money. I can get, what's the day? I mean, at the time, we're taping this right now. What is the day? But anyway, within 5 days, I'll get 1,000 new people coming into the kingdom of God. I know how to do that. Yeah, why? Because you sent me on a job. You gave me a job. And it's God's job to go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature, but he uses us to do that. Would you consider becoming a partner today? None of it goes to me. I mean, I'm already taken care of. God's been good. Kathy's taken care of. That's not the issue. 100% goes into world evangelism. And I mean that sincerely. So think about that, a collaborating a partner.
Yes, like that word. And the same way Jorge did this, when you send in your donation, and I believe that you will.
Let me see the way that's spelled.
Let me finish my thought.
Go ahead, spend your thought.
Pay attention.
I'm paying attention.
When you do that, make sure... when you do send it in, please send us your prayer request. We want to put our faith together with yours and believe with you for your harvest on the seed that you plant. That's a kingdom principle.
Okay. Look, ladies and gentlemen, I wish I could get out there. Where is that? If that ain't George, I don't know what is. J-O-R-G-E.
Okay. G-O-R-G-E is how you spell George Pearson, our friend. It's with a G. And this is a J, so it's Jorge. Thank you, Jorge. For this wonderful...
Jesus, George.
Let it go.
Let it go. Okay, keep reading, Mom.
I have two more testimonies.
Okay.
Beautiful testimonies. This is from Lanny. He says, God bless you, your family, and ministry. Thank you for preaching the truth with humor. It's good for the soul.
Hallelujah.
And this last one, I think they're commenting on last week's chat, says, thank you, Lord, for confirming what my wife and I discussed a couple of days ago. My wife is a pastor, and I believe she is the perfect person for the job. Thank you, guys.
Go ahead, girl. Preach that gospel.
Keep it going.
Hallelujah. Be what God
called you to do. Don't be intimidated. Trust God that He knows how to lead His people.
Let me read that verse again.
Yes.
My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So do something today to be a blessing to someone spiritually, physically, financially, whatever. And guess what God will do? Whatsoever you shall ask in His name.
Yes.
Just use your faith and watch God bless you spiritually, physically, financially. Jesse and Kathy said, thanks for watching us today. Use the language of love.
Yes.
It doesn't work sometime.
Works all the time.
It works all the time. See you next week.
Bye-bye.